Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries, right here in the northwest region of Arkansas. Welcome to the Omega Radio Network. You're tuned into The Watchman today. We've got a great broadcast ready to go. We have our dear brother Daniel Seckham calling in from Australia today. But just a quick little note before we move any further today. I received a text message this morning from a dear brother, the other side of this Watchman program, Paul Petit, and he said, fires in Southern California, earthquakes in Oklahoma, the U.S. Embassy going to Jerusalem, a day of rage planned by, actually 3 days of rage, by Hamas because of the decision of the president to bring the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem from Tel Aviv. He said, is that enough for you today? And I thought, well, I don't know. There's a lot going on. And he also mentioned Australia. I want to just begin the broadcast today with a prophetic word that picks up on yesterday, and then we'll go immediately to Australia. This is very short, and I want you to really hear this. It's in light of what we've been talking about for the last 9 days, and God is doing something supernatural, and I need you to hear this. There's more coming before we get off the air today, but this is a prophetic word for someone out there today, hopefully for a number of us. Suddenly, without notice, a thrust of power arises out of the east. A new day has dawned. As the lightning flashes from the east, even unto the west, so shall my coming be. A quickening is taking place around the world, and this quickening is causing new growth within the lives of believers worldwide. For many, the recent past has seemed like a death process, wherein nothing was showing, no fruit to be seen, no prophetic word, no spiritual inspiration, and the like. The eyes of the world focused upon the news, and people around the world have been glued to the tube. Yet another harvest is about to appear within a people who have been pruned for the purpose of bringing forth more fruit. Expect an increase of fruitful insights of the realm of glory. Expect fresh revelation abounding through the media ports around the world. Expect insightful developments and fresh understanding as the scriptures are interpreted precisely without confusion or double-mindedness. Expect your life, the life that has gone through a pruning season, to bear an abundance of fruit. Understand that the fruit you are about to produce is the image and likeness of the firstborn son. Understand that the whole earth shall shine with the glory of God through a people who have been plowed through their circumstances and trials. These same people shall bring forth the sheaves of a new life before the eyes of the world. Listen to the word of the Lord. You have trusted in governments and military powers to direct world events, but the Lord says that the change in the earth is going to come through the glorious church, militant and triumphant. The church is spread around the world, and a suddenly moment shall arise as believers shall display an inner glory that has been concealed until now. An outray and glorious display shall be witnessed in the earth as the true witnesses shine forth the glory of Christ in them, the hope of glory. Governments and military powers shall fall, at the appearing of Christ and of people called his body. Yes, he comes, riding upon a white horse to make war with the nations of the earth. His white horse is his remnant, a people upon whom the Lord shall ride with victory and success over all the nations of the earth. So be encouraged by that word of the Lord, and let us welcome to the broadcast this morning, Brother Daniel Seckham. Daniel, good morning, all the way from Australia, sir. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I am doubly fantastic, my friend. God is doing some great things. What's been going on in your world in the last week?
Well, it's never makes for boring viewing. Yeah, never a dull moment. That's exactly what I was looking for. So it's never a boring moment down here. There's, as you probably already aware, the bill for same-sex marriage has passed from the Senate down to the lower house, where it is being debated in the House of Representatives. And this is where they are basically debating the protections. And we have, like crazy, all this week contacted our local members. We've made phone calls. We've sent emails to make sure that they put in those protections. And these are the same protections that the Yes campaigners promised. They said, you have nothing to worry about. They said, when gay marriage comes in, there will be nothing for you to worry about at all. Well, that was an absolute lie. And now people are just starting to realize that we've been had, because the protections will not protect civil celebrants. They will not protect celebrants. They will not protect venue owners. They will not protect cake makers, florists, wedding photographers. They will not protect Christian schools. These are all the things that will be under threat as the moment that this bill gets passed. So, yeah, there's a big thing here. But also, too, in the United States, which I think is very, very interesting, how we're faced with this outcome, and you guys in the United States are waiting for the ruling to be handed down in regard to the case with Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cakes. And this will have massive ramifications. Because if the Supreme Court rule against Jack Phillips, that will open a new chilling chapter in Christian persecution in the United States. And this is why we need to pray. We need to intercede before God and pray that the Supreme Court do the right thing and rule in favor of Jack Phillips. And that way, that'll send a message to all the LGBT bullies that have been trying to bait Christians in trying to persecute them. And they are not the victims at all. They are vindictive bullies who have an agenda to go after Christians. And so what we what's really happening in the world at the moment. And like you said, there's a lot of other stuff that's going on at the moment. I mean, let's just go across to Israel. At the moment, as you know, President Trump has made the decision that he will be moving the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem. And that is massive, massive, massive news. The thing is that he hasn't put a date on it. So there's no date in place. However, it's already causing massive controversy. Turkish President Erdogan has said that he has warned Trump, and he said that if you move the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem, you will be crossing a red line for all Muslims. He said you will be crossing a red line for all Muslims. And there's Mahmoud Abbas has warned that there will be violence. So this could be very trepidatious waters that Trump will be going through in regard to doing this. Now, I'm glad he's doing it because this is a campaign promise. So I'm glad that he's doing this. And I believe in moving the embassy to Jerusalem, he's doing the right thing. So very interesting times that we're in at the moment, Pastor Vincent.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was looking at some of the other news reports today. Russia has been expelled from the Olympics. I mean, I'm just watching how this is happening. North North Korea is intensifying its rhetoric and its talk and its ability to go forward with a nuclear strike. We have unrest, you know, south of the border down in Venezuela and down in our Latin American countries. We had earthquakes in Oklahoma in the last 24 hours.
Wow.
And we have upheaval in Europe. We have fires raging again in Southern California. Over 150,000 people have been evacuated. You know, there's just a world in chaos. There's a world in chaos.
Yeah.
And it just seems like and I heard one news commentator get up there and say about Jerusalem, the embassy coming there. Absolutely. Who cares what the Arabs think? We've been pandering to them for such a long time. So it seems like the powder keg, man, we've talked about a powder keg. It's really ready to blow right now like never before. And yet in the midst of this, Daniel, God has a prophetic word for his people. And God is doing amazing things in the midst of his own people at this time. And we've been talking about it all week long. So you sent me something. In a messenger, and I'm no good with messenger, quite frankly. I don't know how the whole thing works, but you did send something you thought would be very interesting. Can you share a little bit about that? Do you recall what it is?
Yeah, I will share about that, and I'm glad you mentioned that because this is something that I've had planned on posting on my Israel, Islam, and End Times page for a while, but haven't had the chance, but I finally got around to doing it the other day, and I'll just read to you what it says. Now, first of all, I want to read to you Daniel chapter 7 and verse 7, and this is what it says. And as those of you who are familiar with this chapter, it's talking about the Daniel's vision of the four beasts. And when Daniel gets to the fourth beast, the most terrifying one, in verse 7, he says this, he says, "And after that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the other former beasts, and it had 10 horns." Now, one thing I thought was extraordinary was when I came across one of the writings of the great English reformer, John Wesley. John Wesley wrote this about the rise of Islam. Now, he was not writing this as a commentary on Daniel chapter 7, verse 7. This was just John Wesley's observation as to witnessing what Islam had done through the Ottoman Empire. So listen to what he says. This is what John Wesley says. "And keep in mind Daniel 7, verse 7. So Wesley says, "It is not therefore strange that ever since the religion of Muhammad," now Muhammad is an old way of saying Muhammad, "appeared in the world, the espousers of it, particularly those under the Turkish emperor, or the former Islamic caliphate, have been as wolves and tigers to all other nations, rending and tearing all that fell into their merciless paws and grinding them with their iron teeth." Isn't that interesting? That numberless cities are raised from the foundation and only their name remaining, that many countries which were once as the garden of are now a desolate wilderness, and so that many once numerous and powerful nations have vanished away from the earth. Such was and is at this day the rage, the fury, the revenge of these destroyers of humankind." Wow.
That's huge. And, you know, that is such a contradiction to so much Bible teaching concerning the Roman Empire. And there's a good conversation there, but he incorporated all four when he said like wolves and like tigers. There you have, you know, in type and shadow, your lion and your leopard, then the paws, you know, whether it be the paw of the lion or the bear. And then you had the fourth beast. So he seems to incorporate the entirety of Daniel 7's four beasts.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, again, he wasn't. This is not a commentary on Daniel 7, but I think it's interesting that his observation of Islam has a striking resemblance to that fourth beast, and particularly when he mentions the eye and teeth. Mm-hmm. I just thought, wow. And when I actually put this to a professor of church history, his name was Dr. William Watson from Colorado Christian University, I put this to him. I said, what do you think of that? And you can watch my interview with him. It's on YouTube. But he actually agreed with it. He said, yes. He says, there have been many instances throughout history where Islam have done exactly that as what the prophet Daniel had described in Daniel 7:7. That they have crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. That is Islam in a nutshell. I mean, the very Arabic term for Islam means submission. It means the subjugation of nations, the subjugation of peoples. It's so clear, Pastor Vincent, that sometimes it's these answers are hidden in plain sight.
Well, they certainly are, and I was watching last night, and they are in plain sight. They're right before us, and it just gets, you know, the picture keeps growing. It keeps growing. You know, our understanding is getting more and more enlightened to what's happening in this day that we're in. Tomorrow, I believe, is the anniversary date of Pearl Harbor, you know, the time when the Japanese went and bombed, you know, our ships in Pearl Harbor. And I was watching a program last night, a documentary about Hiroshima and the entire story of the bomb, the atom bomb that was built and tested in New Mexico with great success, and about the actual officers that flew the plane over Hiroshima and dropped that bomb. And I don't think anybody understood the potential, the power of that thing and what it did. And, you know, tomorrow again, Pearl Harbor, and that was in response to this attack of the Japanese, who were somewhat allied to Germany, right? And so we're living in a time now where we're watching North Korea with its nuclear arsenal. We know Russia has a nuclear arsenal, and they were just told, you're not going to be showing up in the Olympics. Again, provocation is everywhere. It just appears that provocation is the byword of our moment, is it not?
Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing division. We're seeing provocation. We're seeing petulance. We're seeing belligerence. You know, all these nations are becoming increasingly belligerent. China is a classic example. China is beefing up its army in the South China Sea. China is meddling in all these other nations trying to gain influence. Here's another example of what's happened here in Australia. An Australian Labor senator was actually, his name's Sam Diastri, and he was actually caught negotiating with Chinese officials. And this is the second time that he's been busted in doing this. And he's been accepting payments from Chinese officials. It's just, and the head of the Labor Party will not sack him. The head of the Labor Party keeps saying that he's done nothing wrong. It's just incredible. But China is really pushing hard. They're being very aggressive in the property market, in buying up properties, buying up land within Australia. Really concerning. They were doing the same thing in New Zealand until the latest New Zealand Prime Minister came in and she shut that down. But China are doing the same thing in the South Pacific Islands, and they're doing the same thing in Africa. They are pushing very, very, very hard in making inroads into Africa. So this is what's going on with China. And of course, we know all about with what's going on with North Korea. That's really alarming. And of course, what we're not really hearing much about at the moment, but they're very active, is Iran. In fact, Iran, I believe, and there's a lot to be said about this, that Iran is actually working behind the scenes, is actually helping North Korea. So, yeah, it's just – and, of course, Russia has deployed 300 special operations troops to the border with North Korea, considering all the massive war games that are going on at the moment. So, yeah, there's a lot of going on in regard to the nations.
You know, there certainly is. And you mentioned earlier about the Jack Phillips case. And Jack Phillips was the cake baker. And he is going before the Supreme Court wrestling. There's this big clash that's going on there. What a great test for this present administration, you know, to see if getting the right guy in the position is going to stop the insanity here in the United States and possibly begin the process of reversing that particular curse. But, you know, as you know, that case is going on here, that's, you know, that's going to be very interesting to see where that goes. And of course, I don't think there's anything more provocative, getting back to Daniel 7:7 about what John Wesley said, even though it was not commentary on Daniel 7. I can't see anything more provocative in the world right now than bringing the U.S. Embassy into Jerusalem and declaring Jerusalem to be the capital of the Israeli state. I just can't see anything more provocative than that.
Yeah, it really is kicking the hornet's nest, isn't it? And it's almost like Trump has this thing where he likes to stick his finger in the bull's eye. And but this, I think it's a right thing with what Trump is doing, and but I don't think it's as provocative. I don't think it's as controversially explosive as it would be if Israel decided to build the third temple. That would be the powder keg of all powder kegs. That would be the flashpoint of all flashpoints if Israel did that. If Israel did that, I mean, my goodness.
Well, they're going to
World
do
War
that.
III would be inevitable.
Yeah, they're going
to.
Yeah,
they are.
They have to. Because
they have
there's.
To. In fact, many of.
Go ahead, Daniel.
Yeah, you go. Oh, I was just going to say that a lot of the temple is already prefabricated, already precast, and already done. So all that would need to take place would be a series of cranes to come and vault. To come, or trucks to bring in the material, and then the cranes would just put the temple together within a matter of within a matter of days. It'll all come together. It'll come together so quickly because all of the stuff is pretty much already in place. Because they already understand that if they were to put that together, they have to put it together very, very quickly because of the international outrage that would ensue.
Yeah, there'd have to be a tremendous amount of security, and I would imagine it would be rebuilt in a time of trouble. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? And it's impossible. You know, again, people say, well, it's talking about a spiritual temple and this, that, and the other thing. No, there will be an actual temple built in the Middle East, and if it's ever a time to do it, this is the time under Donald Trump's administration where you have, you know, this. Now, it's very strange to me. You would think that most evangelical Christians would understand that a renewed temple in the Middle East is a step closer to the Antichrist coming to actually stand in that temple and declare himself to be God, or his God, Allah, to be God. And, you know, but is this just kind of a hurrying up of end time Bible prophecy?
Well, you know, I think about Zechariah 12. And if we, and I think it's interesting because the prophet Zechariah says that he is going to make Jerusalem a cup of trembling. And that is absolutely so true. Let me just sort of read it to you. It says, a prophecy, the word of the Lord concerning Israel, the Lord who stretches out the heavens, who lays the foundations of the earth, who forms spirit within a person, declares, I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup that sends all the surrounding peoples reeling. Judah will be besieged as well as Jerusalem. And on that day when all the nations of the earth are gathered against her, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock for all the nations, and all who try to move it will injure themselves. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, very much so. You know, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that Jerusalem is going to be that point of controversy. And anyone that has anything to do with Jerusalem is really going to be dealing with the heart of God. And this is where the United States needs to tread carefully. I think, again, as I said before, I think it's the right thing to do. And I think Trump will be blessed and the nation of the United States will be blessed. But this is where, I mean, by doing that, you are sticking a finger in the devil's eye, because the devil is going to be as mad as a hornet, and he will do everything he possibly can to stir up strife and trouble, because God has chosen that place, because God has chosen that holy hill. Satan has chosen that holy hill. And this is why it is the flashpoint of all flashpoints. It's the point of controversy out of all controversies on that mountain, on that holy hill. And because this is where, this is the stage from which all the end times will play out. This is the ground zero, so to speak.
And Daniel, I believe there is one provocation that is greater than any other provocation. And so far, you know, my thought earlier was, you know, what's going on in the Middle East, what's going on in Jerusalem is a major provocation in the world today. But there's something else. And we've been talking about this for the last 9 days, and it has been totally Holy Spirit-led. It has been confirmed again and again. And the provocation that is taking place in the spiritual realm is the reality of a people that are coming to fruition in the divine nature of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We are living in a time of reformation where the reform is not external, but it's internal, and it's a reformation back to the pristine state of a people that were created in the image and likeness of God. And I've been talking much about this lately, and God is bringing this forth. And I want to share, we've got plenty of time for the next 3 or 4 minutes. I want to share a vision about the days that we're in right now. And I want to bring balance between the spiritual things and the natural things going on, even though the natural things are obviously affected by spiritual things. But I believe we need to hear this vision right now. It was given in December of 2005, and it was known as the Vision of the Bells. This is the Vision of the Bells. The voice of the Spirit cries unto the children of men, declaring the day of Jubilee. I see the church bells ringing throughout the earth. I see a people dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, ringing their bells of liberty. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to all. This is my day, and I will share it with my own. Those who have been faithful unto me shall reap the rewards of righteousness in this hour. For the time has come for the sounding of the bells within the realm of my spirit. The sounds of the bells are the rejoicing of the saints, and this sound shall be to the world systems and the powers of darkness a sound of war and alarm. The joyful sound that rings from around the world shall be a sign to the nations, every tribe, tongue, and culture, that hope has come. Yes, the joyful praise and worship that resounds like a vibration throughout the earth from Germany to the Americas and into Europe and Asia will cause to the islands and the mainlands of every continent shall be a sign of freedom and a finished work within my people, says the Lord. But for the world's systems, it shall sound as a devastation and destruction. The powers of darkness shall be shaken by the sound of rejoicing and joy that is coming through an overcoming remnant in the earth. Yes, the heavens shall shake and the earth shall quake as the jubilant, militant, and triumphant church begins to sound. Is this not the third day? Is this not the seventh day? Have I not revealed this mystery to my own? I said it is finished 2,000 years ago, and now the execution, manifestation, and completion of that word has come. This is the seventh day, and I am resting once again, says the Lord, and I will no longer strive with the nature of a fallen beast, but will reveal my glory within a people who have picked up their crosses and followed me. I will allow their witness to be my testimony in the earth. I will reveal my true identity through a crucified people who have cast off the works of darkness and put on Christ. I will reveal my true nature within a people who have put off the old man, who was corrupt and steeped in darkness, and have put on the divine nature, which has enabled them to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Yes, I have reserved unto me a remnant that has not bowed the knee to the image of Satan. And through this remnant, I am sounding my jubilee trumpet as they gather together and offer up to me praise and worship from within their innermost beings. Truly, I say to you that their voices shall become one as they continue to reverberate the joyful sound in the midst of anxiety, fear, disillusionment, and darkness. Their sound shall turn into light, and that light shall pierce the darkness and cause those who are trapped in darkness to come out into the liberty of my new day. I will slay the beast with the breath of my mouth, says the Lord, and I will consume his kingdom in a moment. My saints shall take away the dominions of fear and torment, as their love shall permeate the atmosphere. I will cause the strong delusion that descended upon the mind of Adam to be removed in a moment, that the truth may be seen, and this truth shall cause the bowing of every knee and the confession of every tongue to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. The earth will receive the glory of the Lord, and the streets of the nations shall be filled with the knowledge of my glory. Yes, the bells are ringing in the spirit, and they shall begin to ring once again in the earth. Church buildings from millenniums ago, once again filled with the people of the Most High God. I saw the bells at the top of towers ringing throughout the earth. I saw the ringing bells signaling to one another across the world, and the whole earth was ringing because of the sound of the bells. And then there were three scriptures here. Exodus 28, verse 3 and 4 says, "And beneath, upon the hem of it, thou shalt make pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about, a golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe round about it." And then in Exodus 39:25, "And they made bells of pure gold and put the bells between the pomegranates upon the hem of the robe round about between the pomegranates." This is very interesting. It's talking about the priesthood, the garments of a priesthood with the golden bells. And there is a royal priesthood in the earth today. And God is talking about the golden bells. But Zechariah 14:20 says, "In that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar." And finally, "Golden bells of holiness ringing throughout the earth. Yes, through golden vessels shall the holiness of the Lord be seen and heard. You are the golden bells in the earth," because you're a ministry, a priesthood. "And the Spirit of the Lord would say to you this day, let your bells ring. The sound of the bells is a joyful sound, a triumphant sound, and a most glorious sound of praise unto the Lord. Praise him, praise him, praise him." Daniel, I wrote that 13 years ago in December of 2005, and I can even remember the vision I was singing. It was like after war when the church bells were sounding and the whole earth was hearing the sound of the bells, and it was a time of transition. It was a time of ushering in the kingdom of peace and joy and righteousness. And I know that that time is at hand right now. The light that is dawning is going to pierce the darkness for a moment to give people an opportunity to come out of the darkness before the solar eclipse comes. Yes, the sun will appear to be eclipsed by what is coming in the 3.5 years of great tribulation. But before that moment, I believe that there is going to be an outray and a bursting of divine light in this earth of understanding, wisdom, knowledge, and truth. So no one will have any excuse about where they stand before the Lord of glory. Hallelujah. So I'm excited about that. And I see a balance to what is going on in the world and what God is doing in his people.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned that because, yeah, there's going to be some really, really, really dark, dark, evil times. But in saying that, there's also going to be great, incredibly glorious times for the church. So, and this is where we need to see both sides of the coin. And this is why end times, you know, people shy away from end times because I think it's all doom and gloom, you know. No, not necessarily. I mean, there's going to be some incredible breakthroughs in the church in these last days. There's going to be some glorious outpourings of the Holy Spirit in these last days. And that's what we need to keep in mind. Is there going to be a great falling away? Yes, there is going to be a great falling away. There's going to be great apostasy and there's going to be false teachers. Many people will fall away from the faith, but also going to be a great harvest. You know, in the same chapter in Matthew 24, where Jesus was talking about how there was going to be, parents will betray their children and children will betray their parents. You'll be handed over to governors and synagogues and you'll be flogged. And then Jesus says that there'll be increase of wickedness, and because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But then he says something else. He says something at the end, which is very interesting. He says, and this gospel shall be preached unto all nations, and then the end will come. Why did he say that at the end of that? Why did he say that at the end when he just talked about all these horrific persecutions and all these things? And then he talks about, hey, but this gospel is going to get preached and to all nations, and then the end will come. And that's because I think because the darkness is going and the persecution is going to have a lot to do with the glorious side of what we're going to see outbreaking in the earth. See, the mass evangelism that it will take to reach every nation is going to be fueled by persecution, because Christians who find themselves in countries where they're being persecuted by the authorities and they basically have made up their mind that they have got no other choice but to flee. And many of these Christians who are persecuted are going to find themselves on the mission field preaching the gospel to those who have never heard the gospel before. And that's an exciting prospect to consider, the fact that all these people who've been waiting for the good news of the gospel to come, but they've never seen it because we've been so comfortable. You know, so many of us Christians have been so comfortable, but then when the persecution hits, we get off our rusty dusty and we find ourselves on the mission field preaching the gospel to these people who have been desperately wanting to hear it. And I think it's going to be an incredible harvest, Vincent. I think the harvest is just going to be absolutely so wonderful. Yes, there's going to be a great falling away, but there's going to be an end time harvest that's just going to be absolutely remarkable.
Well, amen to that. And what I see is they will see, the nations of the earth will see, the gospel in action. I believe that the glory of God that is within the people of God, and there is glory within us. Jesus said to the disciples in John 17, Father, the glory you've given me, I have given them. And I know that glory is within the Holy Spirit to do the works of the kingdom. So the gospel will be actually seen through a people who will be manifesting forth the glorious nature. They won't be hypocritical. They won't be spotted. They won't be wrinkled. They won't have any kind of thing. This will be a character-filled people who are operating in the full potential and power of the kingdom of heaven. But, Daniel, we cannot deny that just weeks ago, and you know, whether it's 8 weeks, 10 weeks, whatever, but just weeks ago, there was a sign in the heavens declaring to the people on this earth that have an eye to see and an ear to hear and a heart to understand, there was a sign declaring a time of persecution. And it appears to me that the only people on the planet right now that are not looking up to God's calendar, which is in the sun, moon, and stars, are Christians. I mean, astrologers look, NASA looks, astronomy looks. You know, we have all these different New Agers, metaphysics, they all, you know, Zodiac. The whole world seems to be looking at the calendar, and they're not reading it right because they don't have the Holy Spirit. But God's people aren't viewing his own calendar, and that's sad because the calendar of God has been saying things that are happening on earth. And when we talk about persecution, the last sign we had on September 23rd was all about Revelation chapter 12, the beginning of great persecution globally around the world, which will actually lead into the greatest tribulation ever known. So we've got to continue to pay attention to all these things that are going on.
Yes, and this is exactly what Jesus said. He said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. That is so essential in these last days. I mean, woe to those who would who are the proverbial ostrich with their head in the sand. I mean, it's so dangerous to be ignorant in these times at the moment. One of the most important things that anyone should do in these times that we're living in is to understand the times, to understand the scriptures, you know, and to diligently read the scriptures. You know, the only book in the Bible that actually offers a blessing to those who would actually read this particular book is the book of Revelation.
Amen.
The book of Revelation explicitly offers a blessing to those who would actually read it. And I just think, you know, you don't see that blessing with any of the other books in the Bible. So there's a bit of an impetus. There's an emphasis on the end times. You know, one fifth of all of Jesus' sermons was on the end times. So these are the end times is part of the whole counsel of God. You know, if you're going to preach the whole counsel of God, then the end times would need to be take a part of that, because it's such an indispensable part of the whole gospel. Because the whole gospel includes that Jesus will be a reigning king coming back for his bride. And so this is an essential part of the gospel story, and to completely omit end times is to omit a crucial part of the biblical narrative.
Well, amen to that. Daniel, let me ask you a question. I want to open the lines up here in just a minute. There's a number of people calling in, and I want to give them opportunity to talk with you or ask you a question. You're calling all the way from Australia today. I want to ask, I get the deepest, strongest sense in my spirit, and I've had this before, but right now as you were talking, it just kind of came to a crescendo. There is a world-changing event that is ready to happen. Now, without being dramatic, how many of us would admit that on 9/11/2001, that was a world-changing event? That did not just change things in America through the Patriot Act and all those things. That was a world-changing event for people that were traveling around the world. We had the color codes. We had all these different things. Lots was done. Lots. Things we don't even realize happened from 9/11, from wars in the Middle East, et cetera, et cetera. It was a world-changing event, and yet it was isolated to New York City, but extended the blast radius, if you will, went all the way to the ends of the earth. There is something right now that is making 9/11 look like a preview. It is simply a preview of what this next event is. And I happen to believe that a number of people right now have been fully awakened to this reality. And this could happen in this month of December. And I was asking, Lord, well, when? When will this world-changing event happen? And I believe it's going to be simultaneous. I really believe that God has been laboring because he cares about his church. He cares about his people. He loves creation. And I was asking last night when those men were taking their airplane and they were flying over to Hiroshima with the atom bomb, when they were ready to drop that bomb, God, why didn't you stop that? Why didn't you, you know, swipe that plane out of the sky? Because a lot of people, little children and women, and I heard in my spirit that the Japanese were preparing their whole citizenry for war against the West and war against the invasion of the Americans. And so, you know, I don't understand all of that, but something big is ready to happen. It may happen in December of 2017. It may extend itself out to March of 2018. I don't know. But there's a timeline here. There's something that's going to change the world again that's going to make 9/11 look like a kindergarten act. Your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I agree. And God is all about providing foreshadows, glimpses, foretastes of what we expect. God actually uses history to testify to us. And, you know, as George Santana said, you know, the reason what did he say, the famous quote where he said that people, history has to repeat itself because we don't listen. And he's right. I mean, history, God is, yeah, that's right. God is speaking to us through history, and he gives us so many different lessons that we need to learn from that, because God is all about removing excuses, you know, and this is especially about the generation of the last days. The generation of the last days will have no excuse, zero excuse. When you look back at history and we look at what had happened, especially World War II is especially pertinent with the parallels that we see there. You know, first of all, we read in Zechariah chapter 13 where it says that 2/3 of the land will be cut off. And we know that it's interesting because that's talking about what's going to be happening in the last days. But we know that in Germany, in Europe, there were 9 million Jews. And at the end of World War II, Hitler managed to wipe out 2/3 of them. Isn't that extraordinary? Mm-hmm. The fact that he wiped out 2/3, exactly what the prophet Zechariah says. But the prophet Zechariah is talking about that, but happening in the land of Israel, because he says 2/3 in the land will be wiped out. So, but what we saw happen in Germany was a foreshadowing. It was a foreshadowing of what is to come. Exactly what happened with 9/11. 9/11 was a foreshadowing. It was a foreshadowing of what we are to expect with the Western powers to be brought down within an hour. And that's exactly what Revelation 17 and 18 all talk about. They talk about this pagan civilization that is on a collision course, and it's brought down within 1 hour. And it's going to be a very similar aftermath to what happened with the fall of Rome. Because when Rome fell, there was a great sense of apprehension. There was a great sense of the world coming to an end. The sky was falling. But this is what we're kind of seeing happening at the moment with the West. I think there's going to be... I think this is very interesting, Vincent, is that globalism is gaining more and more and more momentum. We're seeing... And I believe that there's going to be more and more of a growing chasm between the globalist states and other states that are pulling away from that. And let me break this down. You know, it was very interesting because a few days ago, MSNBC, I think she's a host, Joy Reid, she came out and she said that rural Americans are a threat to democracy. Can you believe that?
I remember
that.
She
said rural Americans are a threat to democracy. Now, we can write that off and just say that she's a little bit, but what she's actually echoing is a sentiment that's growing and gaining more and more traction. There is an arrogance among the cities where the liberal elites are, and there's this growing resentment, this growing arrogance, this growing hatred towards the freedom-loving Americans who live out in the country. And I believe it's interesting because when you talk about this prostitute in Revelation 17, it talks about that she's up to do with a city. And that's a very important point to make. And I believe that what we're going to begin to notice is that as globalism continues to gain more and more momentum, chasm will be that great between the globalist city folk, the leftists against the conservatives, that we're going to see a breaking away. And we're going to see even some states seceding from the United States, if I can say that, but not just in the United States. We're going to see these globalist nations that are going to be forming a coalition. And this is what will make up the prostitute. This is what's going to make up this filthy harlot. This is going to be the revival of – it's going to be the Babylon of all Babylons. And, we're already seeing it on the West Coast, and we're already seeing it in the northeast coast of the United States. We're seeing it happening here in Sydney. you know, news just came out today that Sydney, for New Year's Eve, for the New Year's Eve party in Sydney, it's going to be all about celebrating the yes vote, how Australians voted yes for gay marriage, and they're going to have a rainbow fireworks. Forget about the 39% of people who voted no. But this is what I'm talking about. There's going to be like a coalition of globalist nations that will all come together. And this is what I believe will make up this the narrative in regard to the prostitute. And I believe that this prostitute is going to cop it big time, massively. And it'll all be brought down within one day. And it'll just, the judgment of God will be overwhelming and righteous. So that's just my thoughts in regard to that. I do believe, Vincent, that there's going to be a day of reckoning, and it's just going to be massive. It's going to be breathtaking. It's going to make 9/11 look like a picnic.
Well, we agree. And what I would say to that, and I think our listeners would need to know, if you want to understand what the Holy Spirit would guide you to do when you hear these messages, believe me, it's not for people to sit around eating popcorn, cupcakes, ding-dongs, and getting a big thriller like you're watching a drama movie. Here's what the Holy Spirit would tell you to do. If you're listening to this broadcast anywhere in the world and you really understand that this isn't just about America or other places, about what's going on in the planet because of Satan and his fallen angels that are coming to planet Earth, you need to get to a get-out-of-the-way place. You need to have a plan for your life and for your family and your loved ones. You need to know of a place where you could go, where you can have provisions such as food and water and medical supplies and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, infinitum, right? So have provisions in a getaway or get out of the way place, just to get out of the way of what's coming, because it will certainly hit the inner cities first as this thing moves on. And you need to prepare for war that is coming, even though we haven't known it in our generation. You know, our youngest generation has never known what war is, and but we need to prepare for it. And we need to also prepare for famine and for plague and for pestilence and all the things that God said would be happening in the last days. We need to be prepared for those things. And then we need to understand right now that the world is about to change. And it's not going to be tomorrow as it is today. There is going to come a moment where the world is going to change, and it's not going to be for the better. Now, do I believe that the ringing of the bells, do I believe that the saints of God are going to go through a transformation? Yes, I do believe in the kingdom of heaven and amongst God's people, there's going to be an outbreak of divine glory. But that is not to be confused with what the world is doing and the direction it's going and the growing of evil. Remember, the eclipse will come for 3.5 years. What can you expect in our world today? A racial explosion, a global agenda, natural disasters, persecution, civil war, revolution, and much more. And you could just see the orchestra in the satanic dimension, and he's waving his wand around the world, and he's showing the famines down in Venezuela, the invasion of Islam into Europe, the consternation in the Middle East, what's going on in Africa, the divisions that are stirring in the West. And we can go on and on and on, Daniel. And there, it's just the orchestra, which is Lucifer, is stirring this world in a terrific way. And yet in the midst of it, God is doing something great in the midst of his people. Let me do this just to keep my word. If anybody is listening to the broadcast today and you have a question for Daniel or a comment to the program, the number to call, 818-369-0326. Also, if you're already listening, press 1 on your dial pad, and I'll bring you into the broadcast before we get off the air. We've got about 5 minutes left. Daniel, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, I think it's important to note that we need to keep our hearts hot for God. We need to ensure that we are absolutely in right relationship with God. We need to ensure that our lives are clean. We need to ensure that we pray for our family. You know, if those of you who are listening who have children, pray over your kids. Pray over them. Pray that they will have a passion for holiness and righteousness in these last days, and pray that they have a hatred of sin and evil. Pray for your kids to be courageous in these last days, because these last days are going to be extremely testing. They're going to test us. You know, we have no idea. And this is why I'm so concerned for my children growing up in the world that they're going to be growing up in. You know, so my little boy said to me the other day that they watched on TV at school how they were celebrating the yes vote here in Australia for gay marriage. And it infuriated me that the teachers would be showing this, but I need to pray for my son. I need to help them to understand the world, help them to understand the word of God, help them to understand, even help them to understand politics, because that's one of the things that people need to understand. So we need to have all these things that we need to equip us in these last days.
You're right on, and I hate to interrupt you, but I just need to keep to my word. We've got a caller coming in. I believe this is Kathy and Ken calling in from South Dakota. Kathy, Ken, good morning. Welcome to the broadcast, and let me see. There they are. What's on your heart here? We got about 3 minutes.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Comment, and then I have a question for Daniel. Yes, I believe this. The Lord is equipping people to get out of major cities, because that's what the Lord did for us approximately 25 years ago. And then when we got to the place where we're supposed to be at this present time, the Lord said, I says, God, why are we here? And the Lord says, I've sent you here for your own safety. Well, 25 years ago, we didn't have the unrest that we have now. So I understand now why we are where we are. But my question to Daniel is this. All right, now, God can multiply our food, and just like he did to the widow woman with the cruse of oil and that. Now, do you believe we'll be experiencing some of that too until this is over?
Yeah, I believe there will be divine provision. I mean, just like Vincent said, that we need to be making physical provisions, we need to have wisdom and making preparations for our family. And I think all that is good common sense. It's all wise to do those things. But I also believe that in the last days, that God will do incredible miracles that we will see before our eyes, where he will be looking after his saints, where he'll be looking after his people. So yes, I emphatically believe that there would be provisions in these last days.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's take one more call real quick. We've got about a second. Kathy, thank you for that. You could stay tuned with us here for just a moment. We've got about 90 seconds. Patricia, Joy, Xavier, what's on your heart this morning? We're not hearing Patricia. I don't know where she is. Let me see if I can find her on this line here. There you are, Patricia. Go ahead.
Okay. There is a wonderful, wonderful scripture in Ezekiel 38. We know that Ezekiel 38 speaks a lot about what is happening to Israel in the last days. And it says that in 38:7, Ezekiel, it says, be prepared and prepare yourself, you and all your companies that are assembled about you, and be a guard for them. And so what the Lord is saying is, you be prepared so that you could be a guard for those that are about and around your company, that you will be able to be helpful. In doing so, you'll be able to minister, and people will come, and they will want to be taken care of. You will be part of that wonderful end day scenario. So preparation is very important. And do you know the preparation of the heart is absolute? We know that. But also the wisdom of God says, prepare for the latter days. And there's many scriptures that I haven't read that will tell you that very thing.
Amen. What a great word of exhortation. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, we have run out of time. I'm going to be heading over to Kerm Radio here in 1 hour, so make sure you join us on Kerm.net. Daniel, as always, my brother, it's a pleasure hearing from you in Australia. Can't wait to see you again. I know you're going to be in the United States in March for a conference, and we'll just keep running this race together, brother. Thank you. God bless you and your family in Australia. Keep us informed if anything
else. God bless you.
Yes, sir. And to everybody out there, you've been listening to the Omega Radio Network. Tell everybody in the world about it. Would you please tell them to tune in? We've got some of the greatest speakers, from Christopher Manti, Pastor Ted Marshall, Patricia Joy Xavier, Jake McCandless. We've got it all, folks. just let everybody know that you're listening to the Omega Radio Network. We appreciate you. We'll see you tomorrow. Remember, tomorrow, Pearl Harbor Day. We're going to have a lot to say about that. And Lord willing, everything will still be intact. Until then, shalom and God bless you.